And I've also enjoyed being with you dear folks here during this month. I'd like to say this for your encouragement. I think this morning when we met to remember the Lord, it's one of the nicest services I have attended for a long, long time with regards to worship and remembrance. And brethren, if it can be that one Sunday, it could be that every Sunday. If you, brethren, who take part publicly, would just spend a little time at home during the week, reading the Word, looking up the Word, feasting on it for your own soul's sake, looking up your hymn book and getting acquainted with the teaching that's involved in some of those hymns in that believer's hymn book that you use. And when you come along on a Sunday morning, there you are, you're tuned in. You're not coming with an empty basket. You're coming with a full basket. Your heart is full with the things you've studied during the week about the Lord. You have something ready to give. And if you're available, the Holy Spirit can touch your heart, as I think He did this morning. And each brother that took part seemed to lift us right up into the third heaven, where it was just delightful to muse upon the things of the Lord. I felt I wanted to say that to you tonight. I'll encourage you. Keep going on. It's delightful when God's people are exercised about these things. Now tonight I suggested that for our last night we ought to deal with what you might call a very naughty problem. I mean K-N-O-T-T-Y. Tied up in knots. We're living in days when you're hearing a lot of silly things and ridiculous things about healing, as I'll prove to you in a moment or two, I hope. But it confuses a lot of good Christians, and they just don't know what to believe. Well, when you don't know, brethren, the only thing is get to the Word of God. And before God, read the Word, study the Word, accept the Word, and God will help you. Let's read some scriptures tonight that may help us in our understanding as to this very important thing about healing of the body. Hebrews chapter 2 will be our commencing scripture, and we'll read a lot of others. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord or through the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness. But you will notice that word them in your King James Version is in italics, which suggests that that was put in to make sense in the English rendering. But you can read this text without the word them. God also bearing witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to His will. Now let us go back now to the Gospel according to Matthew and chapter 10. The Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 10, verse 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sicknesses and all manner of diseases. Now let me read that closing part of that verse again. And to heal all manner of sicknesses and all manner of diseases. Now let us pause there for a moment or two, and we'll turn up to some other scriptures later on. Now when you come then to a study of the scriptures, we've got to be careful to distinguish between things that differ. When you talk about healing, you must view this subject from a variety of angles. There is such a thing as healing by natural process. For example, someone in your family is sick, and you call in the doctor, and the doctor says, well now, here is my verdict. I do not have any medicine to help this sickness. The fact of the matter is, this patient has been overindulging in a certain thing. And it's going to take time to bring the patient back again to normal health. But he or she will have to stop taking this particular thing. It's got to be cut out. And in order to get the balance back again, I'm going to prescribe for you a certain diet. And you will take this diet and you'll stay strictly to the diet for so long, and you will stay off the thing that's been upsetting your health. And so it may be for a number of days, a number of weeks, or even a number of months. That patient has got to watch very carefully and stay away from the thing which was upsetting their health, and stay to the balance of diet that was going to help them. That is healing by natural process. It's the body coming back to its natural balance. Then, over against that, you have another step. There is healing by means of medicine. Now, we should never get to the stage where we're going to decry medicine. Neither should we land ourselves in the position where we think that we're not well unless we're taking medicine. I knew a lady who was told that the best help for her headaches was a little glass of whiskey. And she believed it. And you know, she acquired an awful taste for her medicine. She liked her medicine. But it didn't help her. Be very careful now. People can become addicted to all kinds of medicine. Believe me if you like, but I know it's true. I served this stuff up for over 6 years. I know what I'm talking about. I've seen people addicted to their medicine. Until certain doctors stepped in and said, it's got to be stopped. On the other hand, medicine is a very helpful thing. Very helpful. That's why it's there. I believe it's God-given. And medicine, if properly prescribed and properly administered, can be a great asset to people who are suffering. There is certain times then when you have healing by means of medicine. I've seen it work, so have you. These are two things with which we're all very familiar. I'm sure you've seen it and witnessed it over and over again. And now there's two other lines, and it's the next two that you and I are going to be faced with now in the next half hour. I believe there is such a thing as divine healing. And I'll explain to you in a moment or two what I mean by that. I believe there is such a thing as divine healing. I also believe that there was a time when men had the gift of healing. But I do not believe that that is present with us at the present time. Now let us come to these two thoughts, divine healing and the gift of healing. I read to you certain verses to prove that there was a time when the disciples of the Lord were given the gift of healing. To heal all manner of sicknesses, not just some manner of sicknesses, but all manner of sicknesses and all manner of diseases. I read that to you in Matthew chapter 10. But let me remind you that when you go to Matthew chapter 10, you've got to be able to distinguish between things that differ. In Matthew chapter 10, these men were being sent out to preach the gospel of the kingdom. And as they preached the gospel of the kingdom, they were given this power to heal all manner of diseases and all manner of sicknesses, whereby God authenticated the message they were preaching. I also read to you from Hebrews chapter 2, where he uses the expression, this great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by or through the Lord, was confirmed unto us by those that heard them, God bearing witness. God bore witness to the message of the gospel by these signs and wonders. And by so doing, the word was established. And that's why the signs and wonders were given. After the completion of the Word of God, there is no need for these signs and wonders. Faith cometh now by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. No need for the spectacular signs and worship. Now, in speaking of divine healing, I want you to get a grasp of this, because you are going to come across people who perhaps are just a little more clever than you are, and if you're not careful, you'll be trapped. For example, a number of years ago, there were those people who moved around this country and other countries with their huge banners and their adverts in the local paper, great faith healing crusade. That's the expression they use, faith healing. You don't see that so much today as you used to see. They will trap you in by using the expression divine healing. Woman said to me one night at the close of a meeting, enjoyed the meeting, Mr. McNeil, I'd like to ask you one question. I said, I hope it's not one of the Queen of Sheba kind, those difficult, hard ones. No, she said, I'd just like to know, do you believe in divine healing? I said, I would be foolish if I didn't. If I didn't believe in divine healing, it would mean that I was limiting God. You see, I believe in divine healing in this sense. God is able to heal anyone at any time, if he so wills. You see, after all said and done, are you going to limit the power of God? That's what I believe by divine healing. Would you allow me to inject a personal testimony in this point? It's something I'm reluctant to tell. Occasionally I do. When I was 4.5 years of age, a doctor gave me 24 hours to live. If I'm spared to next week, I'll be 72. I know I don't look that. I don't feel it either. And that old doctor has been dead and gone for a long time. He gave me 24 hours to live. I can remember it clear. He didn't tell me that, of course. He told my mother. But I can remember lying on my back. That old man used to come in every day, see me. That was in the days when doctors were doctors that came to see you. You hadn't to go and see them. Came round with a little black bag. I always hated when he came in. I'll tell you why. I knew after he had gone there'd be some nasty stuff to go in my tongue. One day I saw my mother weep. I remember it. I saw an aunt of mine come in, stand with my mother, and they both wept. I was only 4.5 years of age. When my father came home that day, he said, "What's the report?" My mother told him, so she told me afterwards. And she told me this, when she was on her sick bed. Said, "Your dad said, all right, if the doctor's finished, we'll begin. If the doctor's finished, we'll begin. And we shall begin on our knees." They did. Then he started giving me a very, very simple remedy. I took a liking for it then. I still have a liking for it now. If God spares me to get home tonight, I'll have a good glass of it when I get home. Hot milk. Good food for babies. It's good enough for you when you get old if you still like it. Not that cold stuff with 2 blocks of ice in it. Not out of the refrigerator. Hot milk. Nice and warm. The best thing I know for causing you to sleep when you were in bed. Without any of these pills that you get. Just a hot glass of milk. And he started feeding me with spoonfuls of milk. And when the old doctor came in the next day, he said, "There's something changed here. There's a change for the better." That was one of the things that prompted me, I might tell you this. After a number of years after that, when I trusted the Lord and I got to know the facts of that case, I realized God had spared me for something. Another 3 times in my life I was spared from death. I've been at death's door 4 times. I'm still here. If God has spared me, the only thing I can do is serve Him to the best of my ability. But see, it was God who did it, not the doctor. There was nobody put hands on me and poured oil on me or anything like that. It wasn't spectacular. But there was recovery. I believe God can heal. That's divine healing. At least that's the way I see it. God can do it. Then again, let us come to this now. It's obvious that if there is such a thing as healing and God can heal, and He gave those men the gift of healing when He sent them out to preach the gospel of the kingdom, and God worked with signs and wonders when the gospel was first preached before the Bible was complete. The question arises now, do we have men today with the gift of healing? My answer is no. We don't. I don't know one of them. And if you know anyone who has the gift of healing, I would like to be introduced to him. Now, I know there's a lot of people who claim this. Let me hurriedly go over some of the claims that are made. You can test them for yourself. The great Roman Catholic Church teaches and believes that there is such a thing today as the gift of healing. They have certain places where they claim that people have been healed, such as Lourdes. You've heard of the people going to Lourdes? And all the cures that have taken place at Lourdes. But perhaps you've never heard of Carfin. They go to Carfin and they pay their money for the holy water. That holy water is supposed to be able to cure them of their sicknesses. It brings good revenue into them. But I could tell you where the water came from and where it still comes from. For they drilled a hole through the rock in 1926. And local plumbers worked on the job and put the pipes in. And the pipes are lined up to the water supply in that area. And the same water comes through that rock as what they could draw in their own house. They had it all ready to turn on. Great big procession that day. They brought in trainloads of people. And a fellow dressed up with all his robes on like an old woman. And his little frill round his neck. They called him a canon. He pronounced a great prayer, calling down the blessing of God, and the water came out of the rock. He blessed it. That made it holy. And people go to Carfin and they buy that water, pay a price for it, take it home to the sick people, expecting that they'll be healed with the holy water from the Carfin grotto. Never heard such deceivery all my days. And I lived around that area and I never saw anybody yet that was healed with that water. Yet it's still there. The Roman Catholic Church makes their claims for the cures by holy water. The Spiritists and the Christian Scientists make their claims of having miraculous cures. You know that. But let's come a little nearer. You might spurn the idea of subscribing to what the Roman Catholics teach and what the Spiritists claim. What the Christian Scientists claim. What about our modern charismatic friends? Well-meaning, some of them. Others are just deceivers. They make all such a claim, and they hold a well-advertised campaign for the healing of the sick. Can their claims be substantiated? Can they? When a certain man whose name is well known not only throughout the United States but throughout many countries, came into this very area a few years ago. A Christian man that I know took his brother, took him down to see this faith healer, the man with the great gift of healing. And he was there in the line in the morning being screened. He came along and laid his hand on him. "What is your trouble, my brother?" He says, "I'm blind. Lost my sight in an accident." "May God bless you." Moved on to the next case. He never even got his card to get into the faith line that night. At least that's what they call it. He never even got a card to get in. Why? Well, he knew perfectly well he couldn't give a blind man his sight. Hypocrisy. He gave them power over all manner of diseases and over all manner of sicknesses. The Lord Jesus Christ was able to give sight to the blind. But Oral Roberts couldn't. And has never yet given sight to the blind. Deceiver, that's what it is. There's been other cases. People who have been sick have gone to these people. Here's a Christian gentleman. Fine gentleman. If he stood on this platform and preached to you, you would enjoy his preaching. At least you would have. He's been dead for a number of years. I remember him fine. But he had a deformity. His right leg was shorter than his left one and was bent up at the knee. His foot couldn't touch the ground. What it caused it, I don't know, some deformity at birth. He never grew to be very tall, I'd say that. But smaller than myself, and he went with crutches. Ah, but I've seen that man stand out in the open street at a street meeting, leaning on one crutch and pointing with his other. My, he could preach the gospel. A faith healer came into the area where he lived. Way back in the 20s now, when things were just getting whipped up, you know, for this. He thought, my, I'll go down and see this fellow. They went down to see him, George Jeffries. They went to see George Jeffries, the great faith healer. He says, look, what can you do for the likes of me? Well, we'll pray over it. This man had been praying for years. I think he knew more about the Lord than what George Jeffries knew. Let me say this, he went to see that man and he came away the same way as he went, and he died the way he lived, with his leg shot, crippled. The Lord saw a lame man, he could make him rise and walk. And Peter and John could do likewise. All manner of disease. All things. I have never known those people today to take a man with a short leg and make it the same length as the other. They claim it. Who's ever seen the person that got it? No, my friend. Let's be fair about these things. Let me give you a third case. Here's a great big faith healing revival meeting being held in a big public hall. An old man crossing over the square to make for the door of the public hall. He's bent, and he has a stick, hardly fit to draw one foot past the other. When he came to the steps leading up to that public hall, two of the ushers came down and put him on a chair. Lifted him up, shoulder high, carried him into the auditorium, right down the main aisle, and placed them right in front of the platform. The place was packed out at the time, and everybody saw him come in. When it was time for healing, this man who was carried in had to be lifted up on the platform, and they went through all the usual paraphernalia. And they got him off the chair, and he could walk. Yes, he could walk when he came over the street. And he walked the same way when he went out as he did when he came in. Why do people want to deceive their fellows and make claims that they cannot substantiate? No, my friend. When the Lord Jesus Christ was here, he performed miracles. But remember, John the Baptist performed no miracle. Did you ever think of it? John performed no miracle. But everything that John said about the Lord Jesus was true. That's what the Word of God says, John chapter 10. But when the Lord came, he came and performed miracles. And at the beginning of the church era, before you had the New Testament completed, God bore witness to the testimony that was born in the gospel. God gave his witness by signs and wonders, and you find them in the early chapters of the Acts. But is there any man today who can claim to have the gift of healing? If I had the gift of healing, I wouldn't build a hospital and charge people a fortune to be in one of the beds. I would go around healing them, wouldn't you? Now, you've all had this experience, I'm sure. Have you ever felt yourself absolutely helpless in the face of sickness? I have great respect for my mother. My mother was saved as a young woman under the preaching of an outstanding preacher. She raised us in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. My mother lay in bed for 12 years. The last 12 years of her life spent in bed. Besides other things, she always had two books lying at her side in bed. She had her Bible and a Redemption Psalm hymn book. She held her own little services in that room. Many a time I went to visit and would open the door and go in and I'd hear her singing. At her age, she wasn't just too able to keep the tune, you know, as she had done in her early days, but she was singing through to her heart's content. And I wouldn't go in the room and disturb her. That's slipping up. And she'd tell you what she'd been reading. See? Some would come to see her and they would go away and say, well, they were greatly blessed through coming. For 12 years she lay in bed. I never once heard her grumble. Never grumbled. The last thing she said to me one time, she said, I won't be here when you come back. I was going away to Liverpool to have 2 weeks of meeting. She said, I won't be here when you come back. I just wish the Lord would take me home. And when I came back, it was to bury her body. She had gone home to be with the Lord. Do you think for a moment if I knew anything about healing, I wouldn't have healed her? No, my friend. May I tell you this? Some of God's choicest people have been people who have endured sickness. What about the man who wrote that great hymn, O love that will not let me go? He wrote that when he was losing his sight and just turned blind. Then again, I would like to have turned up to a number of scriptures, but I see our time is nearly gone. I'll quote them to you. I'll tell you where you find them, and you test them when you go home. If you were to look in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 9, you'll find that Paul tells you this, that he had a thorn in the flesh. Now don't come asking me after me, what was it? It was a thorn in the flesh, that's what it was. And it wasn't the devil that gave it to him either. He tells us what it was and why it was given to him. Lest he should be lifted up with pride. There was given to him a thorn in the flesh. But something else came in there. The messenger of Satan to buffet him because of that thorn in the flesh. And you'll find this when you have a difficulty in a thorn in the flesh. The old devil gets busy and he'll beat you from every angle. He'll get you down and he'll thrash you. Where's your God now that you've got this suffer this? Paul had a thorn in the flesh. And remember, Paul was a man who had had the gift to heal others. And he suffered from a thorn in the flesh. Prayed 3 times about the thing. The answer was, my grace is sufficient. You'll be able to bear it. Timothy, a young fellow called to the work, labored with Paul and with Silas, young fellow who gave himself to the things of God. It's stomach trouble. There are a lot of preachers that have had stomach trouble. Perhaps you wonder why. I think I know some of the answers to it. A friend of mine told me, a fellow I used to preach with, he says, "Bill, I have a lot of trouble with my stomach." He says, "You know, one day I was out with another old missionary," and he says, "when we got back," he said, "he had a pot there," and he said, "he put the plates out. We'd have been away all day," he said, "we've been perspiring, walking for miles to the villages and speaking to the people, giving them try to get home at night, both thirsty, hungry and tired," he said, "and he had the seething pot on. He put the plates out and he's prodding into it with a big hook, and he takes out a piece of meat and puts it on my plate and prods around with a bit for himself and puts it on his plate. And he says, I looked at the thing, I didn't know what it was. He says, let's give thanks." He says he gave thanks. After he'd given thanks, he says, "I looked at the thing again," he says, "and turned it over with a fork." He says, he looked at me and says, "what's the trouble? What are you turning up your nose for?" He says, "young man," he says, "remember this." He says, "that's a luxury here." He says, I looked at him and said, "what is it?" He says, "a monkey's foot." You wouldn't eat a monkey's foot, would you? Perhaps you'd eat a pig's foot, but you wouldn't eat a monkey's foot. I wouldn't even eat a pig's foot. Yeah. However, you might do so, but you see, you move around and you get a certain kind of food here and a certain kind of food there. The last time when I was down in Jamaica, house I was in, mother fed you well, but she laid this nice pot of savoury meat before me, and I love savoury meat. Put savoury meat before me. So after I'd taken it, I thought I would ask a little, you know what I mean? And what kind of meat was that, ma'am? Oh, she says, that was goat stew. Oh, I loved it. Goat stew. You wouldn't think of taking goat stew, would you? Well, it's good. You try it sometime. You would if you were hungry. And it'll be luxury. Yeah? I like lamb. I think, well, roast lamb with mint sauce is just delightful. Some of you wouldn't eat it. I love it. But you see, you go one place and another, and you get different kinds of food. And you don't always get it at the same time of the day, and it's apt to upset your stomach. Some of you who eat out in restaurants all the time, you get the same idea. Timothy had stomach trouble. Whether it was butterflies in his stomach, I don't know. But Paul advised him. He says, there's something you've got to take for your stomach trouble. Well, if he could cure him, why didn't he just pour some oil on his head and say a prayer and get him cured? Didn't do it. Timothy, servant of the Lord, stomach trouble. I've known a lot of preachers who had lots of trouble. Seen some preachers who had heart conditions and all sorts of things. There's a man called Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus is a great worker. He went a journey one day to carry something from Philippi away over to Rome. And he got to Rome and he carried this burden there and he delivered it to Paul. Then he turned sick. And when Paul wrote a letter back to the Christians at Philippi, he says Epaphroditus was sick nigh unto death. Why? For serving them. He was their servant. And he was serving Paul. And he was serving the Lord. He was a faithful brother. Yet he was sick nigh unto death. See, that's strange. Yes. It took a long while for him to be healed. There's another man called Trophimus. And Paul says, we left him at Miletum sick. You'll find that in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 20. We left him there sick. Well, why didn't they heal him? Don't you see why? Because as you go through the Acts of the Apostles, you'll find that this need for the special healing with the signs and wonders has been pushed behind. The gospel is now established. And after the thing was established, there was no need for the signs and the wonders. The Lord Jesus Christ could heal organic sicknesses. lame legs and withered arms. These were signs of the power of the kingdom. Now, I must close, time's gone, but I want to make some reference to a great text that's often quoted by these faith healers. And that's quoted from Isaiah chapter 53. Now, some of you know where that is, you've read it often, and perhaps you've heard them quote it, and they'll come to you, your friends will come to you, and they'll ask you about it. That is, if they believe in faith healing, because they've heard it so often. You see, here's what it says. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. We did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was on him, and with his stripes we are healed. And the great argument is this: there's healing in the atonement. And if you're going to claim the atonement, you'll have to claim not only salvation, you'll have to claim healing for the body. By his stripes we're healed. You know, it's a strange thing that these very people who make that claim, they're always frightened in case they're going to lose their salvation. They're afraid to teach eternal security. Now, I'm ready to admit this. That if I accept the teaching of this verse, I must also accept that there is healing of the body in the atonement. But when will that be? The fact of the matter is we're waiting for the redemption of the body. We're waiting for it. And we'll see the fullness of all the work of the atonement when we reach the point of the redemption of the body. When the dead in Christ shall be raised, and we who are alive and remain shall be changed, and together with them caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, at that time we'll not only be with him, but we shall be like him. No more arthritis for you folks that suffer with it. No more stomach pains. No more headaches. At home with the Lord. Perfect. Redemption complete. Spirit, soul, and body. But while we're in the body, we'll have troubles. I'll catch up with you, my friend, and I hope they don't. I hope you enjoy as good health as I enjoy. If none of the rest of them catch up with you, there's one that will catch up with us all. And sooner or later, if the Lord be not come, someone will have to take our funeral service. Even some of the faith healers, you watch them next time when they come on TV or see the picture, they wear these things the same as me. Why? Because they've got weak eyes, that's all. After you pass 40, you know, your eyesight's never the same. That's why I wear it. I've never met a person yet who has a perfect body. We've all got to suffer something. If you've never had the toothache, you've been spared something. Well, I haven't had toothache for a long time. They had a cure for the toothache when I was growing up. You got them pulled out. Nowadays they drill a hole in them and plug them up. That's so you'll come back later on and get it pulled when it's time. Well, I had mine out for a long time. You know, you suffer. Yes, you suffer weaknesses in the legs, in the arms. You may have headaches, so on. But friends, someday we'll be delivered from all these things. No more pain. No more weariness. No more dread. No more dying. Yes, we'll have the complete healing then. There's healing in the atonement. But in the meantime, remember this. Don't think that you're very unspiritual because you have a headache. Don't think the Lord has forsaken you because you have a sickness. Paul had a sickness. Timothy had a sickness. Epaphroditus had a sickness. Coming down through the years, again I say, some of God's greatest people have been people who have suffered. A dear old lady, her name was Pratt, Maggie Pratt. She was blind. She was very musical. She could sing. If she was here to sing, they'd have to lead her up there by the hand. She'd come to this desk and she'd lay a little auto harp across the desk. She'd stand there, you'd almost think she was looking at you, as she would strum her auto harp and sing, I shall know him by the print of the nails in his hand. Lovely singer. One day, sitting in the home, a friend of my wife's now, she said, do you know who I saw last week, Bill? I said, no idea. She said, do you remember Maggie Pratt? I said, isn't she dead? Oh, no. She says, she's over 90 now. She says that she's in a nursing home. In a nursing home. I said, I wonder if she's still playing her auto harp. She says, yes, every day. She says she plays her auto harp and sings to the other residents in that home and the patients in the bed. She's still singing about the Lord. Blind lady. Ah, my friend, listen. God knows. These people who claim to be able to heal, and they tell you that if you're suffering, it's because there's some spiritual deformity about you and you haven't risen to the level that they have risen to. I'll give you an idea. The next time you see anything of them, and the folks that go to those meetings, have a look at them and see how crippled they look and how deformed some of them are and how miserable some of them look. Yet they're going about talking about being healed. I told one fellow one time who told me he'd been healed, I said, you tell me what you've been healed of, Jimmy. Tell me what you got healed of. He says, catarrh. I said, you never have it now? He says, occasionally, but it's not as bad as it used to be. So that's not healed. I said, could it not heal you from that colour that's on your fingers? It's between these two things. I couldn't heal you of that. Tell you honestly, Brother McNeil, he said, I wanted to be healed of that for a long time, but he says, it's too hard, I can't give it up. Now, don't you talk to me about healing again. You get right with the Lord. See, my friend, this today is serious business. Don't be deceived. I do not believe today that any man has the gift of healing to pour oil on your head and pray over you and tell you you're healed. It doesn't work. And the first time you see it working, come and tell me. I'd like to go and see the person that's been healed in that manner. But I'll tell you what we'll do. You can read James chapter 5. And there he says, call for the elders and let them pray. And the prayer of faith. Now watch. In that particular passage, it's simply this. If the person is suffering because of some particular sin that they have committed, and they confess that sin, and a prayer is made by the elders for that person, he says, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The prayer of faith. That's not the pouring of oil on as a kind of ceremonial, you know. Go into that matter and you'll find that's medicinal. But our time's gone. We haven't time to go into the details of that. But remember this, you can pray for the sick. Nothing wrong with praying for them. And God may raise them up again. Who knows? But, on the other hand, if it's a sickness that we're called upon to bear, let us bear it and have grace sufficient to submit to the will of the Lord. Let's pray. Our Father, We believe that thou knowest every one of us, our uprising and our down sitting. We feel that we've all come short of divine standards. But oh, how we feel that the evil one has upset many of thy dear children. Some have been disappointed. Some have been disillusioned. But oh, we do pray that in mercy thou will look down upon them at this time. We think of some who are sick. And we think of lonely ones. We think of widows. We think of the old folks down in the nursing homes and some in the retirement centres. They need thy presence. They need thy presence by day and by night. God grant that whatever their condition may be, that they'll be conscious that thou art with them. Thou hast promised never to leave them nor forsake them. Be with each of us now. Give us journeying mercies homeward. We ask all giving thanks in the Savior's name. Amen.